of sponsorship sales at IPW, and I am here today with this esteemed panel of experts of IPW. I'll let them share with you how many they've been to, but some of them have been to quite a lot. Can't tell by looking at them. So, with that, if we could start with you, Raphael, just to give us your introduction, who you are, what you do, how that relates to IPW, how many IPWs you've been to, and who your favorite sports team is. He's got lots of sports teams in Vegas now.
Yeah, so. Raphael Villanueva, I'm Senior Director of Global Development for the Las Vegas Convention Visitors Authority. I'm also, Senior Director of Sponsorships for IPW. I'm responsible for all the host destination activities that we're doing in Las Vegas for IPW. It will be my 22nd IPW, my third that I'm responsible for organizing the activities that we do. I think I'm one of three people who's ever done that. The other two are dead. No.
Are missing.
I got missing right after the third one. But very happy. We're always proud to be able to host that. I'm looking forward to seeing you guys.
Great. Thank you.
I'm Gary Studer with Rocky Mountains Holiday Tours. And what was the rest of the question?
It's just how long he's been going on.
Let me put it this way. Last year, I finally achieved something and said I probably don't have to go back again because they give out these little stickers that say new first-timer. Then they give out one that says 2 to 5 years. They had one that said 40-plus. I finally got it, so I don't need to go back anymore. I've been there since 1980. I have been every IPW since 1980, so 40. My company, Rocky Mountain Holiday Tours, we do FIT and group programs to the Western United States. And I mean, as you can tell, IPW has been a huge factor in what we do and how we do our marketing.
My name is Peter van Berkel. I'm president of Travalco. Travalco is an inbound operator for North America. We do Canada, Caribbean as well, but our focus is on the USA. We've been in business since 1985. This will be my 33rd IPW, something like that. We as an inbound operator have two memberships with US Travel, one for our FIT site and one for our groups and incentive site. And we have both seller delegates at the show, but also buyer delegates. It's an important show for us, and our buyers also get to know the knowledge. So I can speak out of both sides of my mouth at the same time and still make sense. So.
So how many of you here in the room have been to IPW? Okay, so we got a few that haven't, a couple, but that's great. And that's why this show is so important to IPW, all the support we get here. Today we really want to just hone in and focus on, as registration is happening right now and appointments start to open, what you can do to better prepare yourself, to make sure, we know IPW is an expensive show, but we want to make sure you're getting your ROI. And what are some of the tips and tricks from the industry experts here that have been to their fair share of them to kind of help you navigate that. So as I mentioned at lunch today, we're celebrating 52 years. We had our 52nd birthday in Anaheim this year. So we'll have our 52nd birthday in Las Vegas this year. So we're mixing things up a little, trying to keep things new and fresh, and we want to be relevant for the next 50 years. So I showed you a few slides about some of the new features that we're doing. We can talk a little bit more about that. There's definitely going to be time for question and answers at the end as well. It's a large show. It's a large investment. And we know that there's a lot of time is spent there too. So I'm going to turn this over to the panel for some questions today. And starting with Raphael, we're expecting over 6,000 people to travel to Las Vegas from over 70 countries around the world. So Raphael, can you tell us a little bit about who attends IPW?
Well, for us as a host destination, it's really important to try to get that number beyond the 6,000. Our goal really is to break a record. We expect over 1,300 buyers, operators there. I really would like us to get over 600 media. I think we usually say the baseline is 500 media attending from around the world, including some domestic media, 1,100 exhibitors, plus all the people attending along with them. Another element you may not be aware of, there's about 60 plus meetings incentive, the MICE market from different parts of the world. A core of them come from France, but we hope to expand that as well. If you saw Malcolm Smith here yesterday, he left because he's joining our team from Vegas and his team in South Korea, Japan, and Taiwan, because we're out there trying to drive more buyers to come to these shows. We are taking an additional investment, more than we've done in the last two times that we've hosted IPW, to get more attendance. We just don't want to have a great IPW. We want to have the best IPW when it comes to attendance, because we all there for business. We're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to have a lot of great things to do, but we also want to come back with a great story to tell, and that's the business that we have, and we want to be able to show off and showcase our destination there, so hopefully everyone wants to come by. We know we're going to get a lot of exhibitors, a lot of the destinations, a lot of the DMOs, a lot of the attractions, a lot of the hotels from Las Vegas. So whether you do business with them or you do business with the operators, the world will be in Las Vegas at the end of May, first part of June.
Thank you. And so as we start to approach appointments opening soon, Gary, can you give us some tips about what you do to get ready for that and how you prepare for managing? You're taking appointments on both sides as well,
yes,
much like Peter said. So you need to be aware of profiles on both sides. So how do you get ready for that?
On the supplier side, because we go with our own booth, so we're talking to the buyers that are coming in. And one of the things, and I'm sure a lot of you already are doing some of these, but read the bios. Know who you're talking to. And there's, for us, we sort of divide it into two different types of meetings. You have people that you've been working with, because this is an area of, that might be the only time all year that you actually can sit down and talk to the actual clients that you're working with, if they're coming from all over Europe or China or South America. Also, there are people, you might have an appointment with someone you have no idea, you've never heard of them before. That's going to be a different appointment, because the other people know you. They know how you work, and you just want to find out from them what you can do to increase your business. These people, you want to get their business. So it's a different type of appointment, and make sure you have your notes so you know who you're talking to. Just read their profiles.
What tools do you use to research if you don't know who this person is coming to take an appointment with you?
Well, IPW gives you a lot of bios and information.
Right.
You can go in and you can get that information from IPW on their websites and everything. So, I mean, yeah, and you can also, you know, you can also go into their websites and find out a little bit about what they say about themselves. So, when you get your appointment schedules, make up your own appointment schedule, and a lot of times it's going to be more than just you in a booth. There are going to be two or three people from your company. So divide up who's going to be talking to which company and what you're going to talk to them about. But, you know, take the appointment schedule, and then you'll know who you might have requested that you didn't get, and you can always still try to see if you can fill in an appointment if you've got some space left. Don't wait until you get there. There's times you can do it when you get there, but if you can get those appointments filled up before you get there, it's going to be a lot more helpful. And then just in the back of your mind, know why you're going. I mean, do you have new product that you're trying to push? If you're a DMO, if you're a supplier or something, maybe you have a new activity that you're suddenly doing this trip or that trip to this Grand Canyon or something. You know, what is it that you are actually trying to promote at this particular show this year?
Right. And sometimes that can vary from market to market, right? You know, what you're maybe promoting to the French market could be a little different than what you're promoting to the Chinese market. So doing your research on who your appointments, as a supplier, who your appointments are with. Pricing sometimes can vary. I know I come from the hotel background, and sometimes we'd have different pricing perhaps for different markets where it made sense. Obviously, if you're meeting with a receptive operator versus a domestic operator. So just getting your homework done like that. I was talking with Oliver at lunch, and We were talking about doing lots of presentations back. You know, there's 44 appointments. So as an exhibitor, you don't get a lot of breathing time. And if you're fully booked, you're really not going to go into the bathroom. So don't drink coffee during your appointments, I think, is a tip. But having your elevator speech down, you know, just knowing what you were trying to present and having everything well prepared and maybe a leave behind piece. And Peter, what would you add to that as a tour operator meeting with suppliers, sitting down with them? What do you like to see them prepare for, and how do you prepare?
Sure. Now I'm talking from the buying side from our company. Yes, our buyers are looking very specifically for products long time ahead. But the most important part is basically to realize where do we all stand in this distribution equation. And if you put it in a simple way, how we do that within the organization, we came up with the concept of the triangle. And the triangle, there are three major parts of that encompass the inbound travel. And those are the DMOs, either on state, local, or on country level. You got inbound tour operators, and if you put it very simple, quite often we are the companies where the rubber meets the roads, and then you got the suppliers, and suppliers are of course very wide, hotels, attractions, etc., etc. And if you look at that, if we as an inbound operator buy, so we buy from suppliers, then we're looking for product very far ahead. We have to be ahead of what our clients need. So if our clients are, for example, working in an 16, 18, 20 month time, I need time to prepare for that. So then what we're looking for from our suppliers, that they're ready as well. I understand very well, especially on the hotel side, where a lot of matters like yield management are coming in and where decisions are being made. Why do you want me to give now already 2022 pricing while 2020 has barely started and we don't know what's going to be 2021? And my revenue manager would like to first evaluate what happens this year before they decide what you're going to do the year afterwards. I understand that. I understand. But you have to understand also the market. I learned once from a branding expert, and that stayed with me, and it's not about you, it's about them. Everything is about them, and if you can understand how your clients, whether it's a buyer on the tour operator side or the inbound side, understand their needs, and you truly can understand what the mechanism is, and you do that by preparing, reading, asking, and preparing in such a way, then you get ahead of the game. Because for us, we see also very clearly that there is so much work going into a show like this, and it is fantastically organized, but it is also huge. If you do not prepare, you're gonna miss the boat. And one of the things on the appointment scheduling that I would like to say, you have to know, you can positively influence the decisions. You know how the computer works because there's a preference for mutual appointments, etc., etc. So if you can make a potential target to request you, you have an extremely high chance that you get the appointment. Because it will be very difficult after the fact if they are a popular company that is very demanding. So prepare.
And reach out ahead of time. Just say,
absolutely.
Definitely, you can reach out through the IPW portal.
Yeah.
And just say, you know, Peter, I'd really like to meet with your company. I think we've got a lot we can offer you. Appointments are opening soon. Just a heads up, you know, I'm going to be requesting an appointment with you. That will help increase your chances.
And don't wait till you get the appointments, because then that particular window has closed. So other windows, but be ahead of the game.
So there's two phases of the appointment scheduling system. One is what we call online, and one's offline, but they're both online. They're all done through the portal. Once appointments are sent out, you can have a maximum as an exhibitor of 44 appointments. If you only, let's say, are scheduled 42, you can see where other tour operators have an open slot and try to request into that slot that matches up with you. And there's plenty of other opportunities. Also, we'll talk a little bit more about other ways to network and connect with people as well.
Yeah.
Gary?
One change that I've seen with the appointments in the last few years is that the receptive operators also are buyers. And that's something you need to be aware of. How many hotels do we have in here are versus DMOs? Know if you're talking to a receptive operator or talking to a tour operator, because your pricing is going to be different. Or we certainly hope it's going to be different.
Right.
And we don't, you know, as a receptive operator, we don't want you giving prices. Ask them, if it's a tour operator, ask them, well, what receptives do you work with? And then, oh yeah, I work with this one, this one, this one. Well, as a DMO or a hotel, then you can say, oh yes, we work with that receptive as well, so we can work with you through that receptive, and listen to what they have, what they want, because you can sit there for 15 of the 20 minutes and this is what I have, this is what I have, and it might not be what they're looking for. You might be talking groups and they do FRP. So just ask first and listen to what you might be able to match up with what they're looking for.
Does anybody have any, we're a small group, so I think we can do a little Q&A during, but do you have a question on appointment scheduling or?
You can ask more on the benefit of IPW for like the media type of person, but if you have other questions you want to ask first.
Oh, sure, well, and we are gonna touch on media, okay. So if you don't mind just holding that thought.
Yeah.
So we've got a couple, okay.
Yes, yeah,
so
I've attended, I don't know, maybe 20 some odd IPWs, unfortunately not all in a row, but. One of the things that I think I've noticed over the years is that you do have some buyer profiles that are not completed fully, and it's hard for us as a supplier to, you know, we know all the major players and so on and so forth, but finding those new ones, and when they don't fill out that profile enough to give us an idea of who they are, what they're looking for, and so on and so forth. It's one of those where you'd like to spend more time on that, but with the number of buyers, as you talked about, but you're looking for 1,300 buyers, it's like, you know, okay, let's get past that one, let's keep on going. So just making sure that the buyers are filling out that profile to the maximum, so we know exactly what they're looking for. We're not going to waste their time, they're going to waste our time, that kind of thing.
Good point, because, I mean, probably better than the profile, right, is what are you looking for coming to IPW.
Right.
And sometimes you can do that by when you start having that communication prior. You know them, right? You do the research. You can see what they're selling on their site or who they're doing work. Or you can talk to your DMO, who should have a better understanding on who the players are in that marketplace, and get a better game plan prior to going. Because 90% of the work of IPW should be done before the appointment selection is made. But then you're going to have that issue of, I didn't get the appointments I wanted, I got these other ones. Now you have to start working on that other game of, do I cancel? Do I have opportunities with these folks? And you have to do a little more research. People figure, I'll just fill out what I can, get the appointments, and then wait till I show up and see what I can get. Another thing about during these appointments I found, and I learned this the hard way the very first year I went there, and fortunately, a good friend of mine now, there was an operator that said, Rafael, it was wonderful, but you just spent 15 minutes telling me all the way why this is good for Vegas, for me to sell Vegas. Why is it good for my company to have Vegas in product? Mm-hmm. I forget, why is it a business sense? But you gotta do all that work. So you gotta prepare, and then you have to be ready for why each one. I attend another show. That we have a little bit more time, but we prepare a deck for every individual client. And every little client, now there's only 20 appointments over 3 days, but there's a whole deck written all specific with numbers and research for every individual client. But almost taking that type of approach for IPW, a lot more work. But yeah, and if they don't put that in the profile, you have to go do some research to find that out. Because if not, you're wasting their time and your time.
It could be an opportunity also, because one of the first questions that I get quite often asked, what's new? So that's interesting. So they're asking us, well, what is new? So that gives you an opportunity to shape the discussion as well. And that means that as a company, perhaps, that is not as prepared as they should be. which could be your benefit. Mm-hmm. If you can impress them with a lot of information that's relevant to them. Because once again, to me, that is what we instill in our staff, it's all about them. From how can we take care of your problems?
Do we have VMOs in here at this time? Any VMOs at all?
Yeah, back here.
Okay.
They're being shy. I don't know why. They just
as a small receptive operator, I can tell you one of the first things I would ask you, don't tell me how great your location is. I pretty much can find that out. You know, tell me a little bit, the highlights or something. But you know what I'm going to ask for? I'm going to say, what hotels in your area will work with a receptive? What activities do you have that will work with a receptive? Because I don't want a whole sheet of all the hotels that are in your town, because 90% of them aren't going to work with a receptive. I want to know which ones work with a receptive, so I'm not wasting my time contacting hotels that are going to tell me, who are you and what do you do? So, I mean, that's very important for us, is to have these properties and activities that will work with us.
And that gets back to knowing who you're meeting with again. Are you meeting with a receptive? Are you meeting with a OTA? Are you meeting with a domestic tour operator? Just so you know, in your appointments too, as suppliers, as exhibitors, you can opt out of certain categories of appointments. You can opt out of domestic buyers, for example, or OTAs. If you're not the person that would handle negotiating OTAs, sometimes that's done from a more of a corporate standpoint, and you want to negotiate rates with the tour operators or the receptive operators, you can actually opt out of that for your booth. I don't think we see that too often, but it is an option there. All right, so getting back to media, Raphael, can you talk a little bit about I know you said you're working hard, and I know we've got Kathy Keefe in Japan right now, and also Kathy Reynolds also in Korea, meeting Malcolm to promote more media coming to IPW. We do big pushes right before to get the numbers up, and we've seen good traction on that. Vegas is always one of our number one destinations for IPW. We see stronger numbers there than almost any other destination we go to, so we have high hopes, Raphael. But can you tell us a little bit about media and some of the opportunities there?
Also, one of the best things that at least our PR and media team loves is the marketplace on Monday. It's kind of the trade show for them. It's not as elaborate as the trade show in the marketplace that we're at, but it gives them an opportunity to meet with the media one-to-one, and they changed the format to 3 years ago now, where
yep,
it is
about 3 years
scheduled. It used to be the first half, you met with them, and then the second half they met with you. You sat at the table. Now it is appointments, and they go around the room. It works out extremely well.
And that's called Media Marketplace.
Media Marketplace,
which is a whole separate registration.
Right. And if you're not sending media and you have media, it's you're missing an opportunity there, because you never have that many media all in one place at one time. They're also changing the structure of the press conferences over the days right after that, right? They're doing, shortening them, and adding some opportunities
for
the media.
We're increasing the number of press conferences for IPW 2020, because there's been a demand from a lot of our Chairman Circle members that they want to do a press conference there. But we're shortening them to 20 minutes, which we really feel like is most people's attention span anyway. And we're freeing up the media in the afternoons. Before, they really could not get on the exhibit hall floor on Tuesday afternoon. They would be on there on Wednesday afternoon. So now they'll be on the floor on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. So if you wanted to set up appointments with media, you'd be able to do so, or they could be walking by your booths. So you'll see more engagement with the media that way.
And we're pushing a lot of programs, like they're in Asia right now, but WTM, we did a media breakfast to help promote the media attending IPW. We're sending a lot of communication out through all our media lists, through all our offices that we have around the world, to try to get that registration up. The events we're doing on Sunday for the media are going to be really highlighted and special that they're going to want to attend. The great thing is we have a lot of new and amazing construction going on in the city that is really going to drive a lot of attention of the media coming in. So there's going to be some really special behind the scenes, hard hat opportunities for them to be at that most media will not get the chance to do unless they come in during that period of time. So we're pulling out all stops to get good attendance for them.
Regarding the media, do you limit the media to strictly editors and travel writers, or because I know sometimes you know, we're in a booth or something like that, and you get a person representing a media publication that want to sell you on advertising?
They probably are coming from the marketing and technology pavilion. They would have a different color badge, and again, you can opt out of taking appointments with them, but it's the only area we allow marketing and technology people on the floor, and they have to pay a sponsorship to be there. So it's a very limited number. But again, Kathy Reynolds, who I was just speaking about, turns down so many people for coming as media for IPW because they have to show articles that they have produced in market, in translated, you know, they've got to show all kinds of documentation in order to get approved. Plus we have IACs all over the world too that are also vetting for media.
But you do get that editor that now everybody's responsible to bringing some sort of revenue. So they are writing, they are the editors of the publication, but they're also being told by the publisher, you got to find some additional revenue, and they'll throw in a
they're
pinch.
Work it
but
too.
They're the ones that have done a lot of stories and have been vetted to a point, but unfortunately, you know, it's hard for them to catch everyone. And we do get them all coming in. Here's our great story, what we did for you, and they slide that little piece of paper in there for that, the rate sheets.
So I just have a clarifying question, if I might ask. So I'm a little different. I'm more of like a niche marketing area. So I run, if you combine like a media person and like a DMO type of group, I focus on promoting Florida as an LGBTQ inclusive destination to visit, celebrate, and live. So for me, I focus on Florida. I write all about Florida, places to go, and I partner with companies that want to market to the niche market. But I'm not a DMO. I'm not a Visit St. Pete Clearwater, a visit, you know, type of organization. So I'm not being funded by Heads and Beds. I get funded by advertising and companies that want to market through me. But I also get funded by getting out there and spreading the word about my platform, Outcoast, so that people come to it. So I have partners who want to market, local people here who want to market through me, knowing that I have a wider reach. So I want to better understand if there's, and I always struggle with, okay, how do I sign up? Am I media? Am I more like a,
marketing.
Yeah, like where would I be in that platform? Because I'm not out there traveling the world blogging about all these great places. I do from time to time. I mean, I might say, well, there's a quick flight over to Asheville from St. Pete Clearwater. Let's talk about the experience there. It's very LGBT. But I always try to figure out where I fit in, so I'm not signing up for something where I'm not benefiting, or the person on the other end in a meet and greet type of situation isn't going to benefit either. Trying to capitalize. And it's a bit, I go to the IGLTA conference. I know exactly where I can kind of fit into that space. It's different because it's focused on that niche, but would like to get the brand out there a little further to people coming to Florida, knowing, okay, I want to go to Outcoast because I know if I go here, I know where to travel in Florida to make sure it's a fun experience for me and my LGBT experience.
Right. And IPW is coming to Florida in 2022.
Okay.
Coming back to Orlando, which we're excited about. But we can talk afterwards and kind of get what your objectives are and kind of figure out where the right fit is for you. Glad to do that.
Thank you.
Talking about engagement, other than being on the exhibit hall floor, well, let's start with the exhibit hall floor. At lunch today, I talked a little bit about some of the new engaging components that we have. We're creating these fun lounges now. We've got like these pods in there where people can take meetings and sit down and have conversations, relax. We're gonna have a different type of food and beverage, well, mostly beverage set up there. So we're excited to do that and also modifying lunches for more engagement. We're also bringing in the whole education component, which we've heard loud and clear. A lot of folks want that. But that, you know, we've got some neat things going on there. We're going to have a lot of fun stuff going on in the lobby as well at the beautiful convention center when our attendees are coming and going. So we got great feedback on Visit California and the California Plaza. Mm-hmm. So we can't pull California Plaza through, and Vegas doesn't need to do that because they're Vegas babies, so they got their own thing going on there. But we're going to have a lot of engagement in the lobby. But outside of all of that, what else can our attendees do to engage customers, to engage potential customers, relationships off of the show floor? So I'll start with you, Gary.
Don't skip on the lunches. First of all, the entertainment's really usually very, very good. And second of all, you've got a whole table full of people that you're working with. And like you said, I remember Denver 2 years ago, and I mean, it was dark in there. You really didn't know who was sitting at the table. So now they're changing that. So the first part of the luncheon, there will be lights on. You can see who's at your table. If some of the larger DMOs and different companies, states, will actually have their own tables. And these are reserved tables, so they'll invite their certain people to come sit with them on Monday, certain people on Tuesday. So, I mean, if you get invited to something like that, go, and you can talk to others then. And then there's receptions. I was mentioning this morning, we've done a reception since New Orleans, I think, was the first reception that we did. And we have really positive feedback from our reception. And what we try to tell people, you know, if you're a member, bring a non-member to our reception so that we can let them know what IITA does. Last year it got a little bit out of hand, I think. We were expecting about 125 to 150 max people from the reservations, you know, RSVPs. We had over 250, and the venue wasn't large enough. So it almost became difficult for us at that point to actually engage people and tell them what IITA did, other than the fact that they saw, wow, this must be a very good organization. Look at all the people that showed up. But if you can go to the receptions, our reception is usually Sunday right before the opening, and we try to have it somewhere close to the opening program. So you have that, you have the luncheons. If you don't have an appointment, don't just stand around in your booth. I mean, you're networking, and even if it's somebody with a different company or something that has a booth next to you, you know, go around and talk to people, tell them what's new, what you can do. So, I mean, there's a lot of different things you can do. You don't just need to go to the show, take your appointment, and go home.
And Raphael, do you want to tell us about the evening events that Las Vegas has planned for us?
Yeah, so there's a lot of events we're trying to do, that includes not only the evening events, but stuff on Saturday, which I'll touch on in a minute. But on Sunday night, our opening party will be held at a new space that is behind the Link or the High Roller, hosted by Caesars Entertainment. It's in their new Caesars Forum. It will become very popular and well-known come April 23rd. April 23rd? When the NFL draft will be held in Las Vegas. That'll be the very first event at this space. And then the second big event at that space will be IPW opening party. It's a big meeting space, but a big outdoor area that we're going to do. And if you were at IPW 2013, where we had our closing party that Caesars put on, trust me, the level of food that will be that we had at that event will be the same. A lot of entertainment, but the way we're building it is an area that you will be able to see and mingle and network with people there. It's not going to be spread out over many acres. There'll be an opportunity so you can see your friends, get together with customers, talk, and plan the rest of the week. Our closing party is we're taking everybody back a little bit to Fremont Street, kind of where Vegas started. It's the world's largest TV screen canopy. We just went through a $32 million makeover of this screen. It's 7 times brighter resolution, 4 times greater, but it's going to be a lot more interactive. Once again, everyone will be able to see each other and finish off the week of work of IPW there. We're going to have a great time, and if you're not going to see them on the floor, you might see them on the screen. We're going to have a lot of fun with that. But on Saturday,
gotta be careful then, right? Yeah. If you're gonna be on the big screen.
So work on that makeup, I guess. No. On Saturday, there's a lot of things going on. Saturday and Sunday. Starting out with Saturday morning, our friends from Tourism Cares will be in Las Vegas, and if you want to really do something that's going to be really great, feel good. But there's also an opportunity to network. I would strongly recommend signing up and participating. I think they're going to show a video, right?
Yeah. And if you have ever wanted to really bond with somebody, whether it's a customer or a business partner, shoveling ditches, ripping out weeds, or painting walls in 100-degree heat will make you bond. And that's what I love about Tourism Cares. I want to introduce Greg Takahara, who's president of Tourism Cares, who's here with us through the duration at IITA, and just show you a little video. How many here has attended one of the IITA, one of the Tourism Cares? Only one? Okay, we got a few. Okay, good, good. I know you have, Raphael, right?
Our team has, right?
Okay, yeah, you guys are big sponsors of a lot of that. So I'm gonna just roll a quick video.
They're not digging ditches.
No.
Springs
Preserve.
Oh, Springs Preserve?
Yeah.
Oh, beautiful.
Okay, it's not going to the screen. Stop. Technology, I love it. Okay. I am fortunate that I was at the very first Tourism Cares event at Ellis Island when the organization first started, and that was what year, Greg?
2003.
That'll tell you how long ago that was. A little scary. But I've participated in probably 15 since, and I can't always do them. It's volunteer time, but it is such a rewarding thing to do. And excited to come to Vegas and really give back there. I actually participated in the one that was in Vegas at the same venue 10 years ago, thereabouts, where we did a lot of good work there, too. Well, it was more presentation and education, but it was more the exec committee. So, Greg, do you want to say anything while we're queuing up the video?
So this is the fifth year that we're collaborating with IPW. They've actually put it on their program, which we're extremely grateful for. So I hope that all of you will make your plans to come in over the weekend. Obviously, Las Vegas is a very attractive community for people to come in early and spend some time before the conference begins. But as Ruth mentioned, it's a great opportunity to engage with your colleagues. Some of the references that Ruth made to digging ditches and planting trees, yes, we've done a lot of that. But as I'll talk about in the next session, which is on sustainability, we've shifted a lot of our focus from volunteerism to impact work. So we now try to combine that. And specifically, whenever we go into an IPW host city, we look to reach out to the local community and really leave a lasting imprint on that local community. So we welcome everybody. Valerie Segarra from LVCBA is on our board. John Meyer is kind of acts as her proxy, so they have a strong presence on our Tourism Cares board. They've been a tremendous supporter, so we're looking forward to being in Vegas at IPW.
So book your flights a little early. Come in on Friday then instead of Saturday so you can attend, because this happens in the morning. If you can get in early on Saturday morning, you can go straight to the event.
Get a couple hours of sleep, you know, when you're doing your gambling and then you're more. Okay. Oh, wait, that's the Puerto Rico
video. Oh, yeah, skip the video. Okay. It skipped forward the video versus the one we wanted to watch. We want to show them animals.
Don't steal my thunder. I have to show that.
So if we go back to that link on the PowerPoint. There it is.
There we go.
Thank you.
We're here in Anaheim, and we're about to kick off IPW and learn what sustainability is all about. We are an amazing, beautiful destination being visited from around the world. It's very, very important that sustainability becomes important topic. Recently, we shifted from a destination marketing organization to a destination management organization. We want to help manage tourism flow in this state to help sustainability.
About 20 years ago, we realized that we could start custom growing food for the food banks in our area, and we did. And we had an incredible edible park, which was horticulture, not agriculture, as the city council was willing to approve an edible park, not a small farm, on a piece of ground that was supposed to be a farm. So that background We continue then to use what we call a food concept projects around our area of custom producing food for the food bank. And so today, Tourism Cares, for example, and a couple other wonderful groups are here planting, harvesting, weeding, doing some great work for some food that's going to go directly to the needy in our community.
Tourism doesn't exist without hospitality, and hospitality doesn't exist without tourism bringing people into it. So our goal is really to take those marginalized individuals in society, whether it's because of mental illness or poverty or whatever they've been through in life that's marginalized, and how can we give them an opportunity for a path out of poverty, a path for something better in life. So the industry can do so much to help everybody, because travel, tourism, hospitality, they all go hand in hand. They're all serving the same need, whether someone paying for it or someone needs it.
So it's a great way to kick off IPW. I'm just going to say you can really start off with a really start off with a feel good moment for sure. Okay. Sorry, Chris.
Who wants to play that? And then a little later that day, and on Sunday, we also have sightseeing tours or experiences that we're putting together that our team has that operators and buyers and suppliers can participate. And this will be an opportunity, too, to go also try and experience other parts of Vegas that you may not have seen, but do it along with buyers and media. So, information will start coming out towards the end of this month, 1st of March. Be on the lookout for your registration.
So we've talked about, before you get to IPW, did you want to add something?
Just a couple of things that I had written down here. And they're pretty simple things with the evening programs and the other programs. Don't forget your business cards. Take them with you wherever you go. And a little hint, if you want to write your booth number in case you want to talk to somebody and maybe they have a moment they can stop by your booth, put your number on your business card. And this is Vegas, and it's not just Vegas, but any other IPW that you might go to. The alcohol is free. Don't overdo it, because you don't want to be the talk of the show the next day. And we've had some people along the way.
Or show up on the big screen.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you're there to do business. You're representing your company. Make sure you're a good representative of your company.
The alcohol is free at the events.
Yeah.
Not on the street.
Yeah, not on the machines. Then you get
at the slot machines, too, I thought, right?
Yeah. At the gambling
tables. That's not really free, way I
Those are great closing tips. We talked about, before you get there, all your prep work. Once you're on site, some great things you can take advantage of. And then we're going to talk about after you get home. And Peter, I'm going to let you give some tips since you work both sites. After you get home, should you just throw all those business cards in your desk drawer and forget about them? What do we do after we get home?
Now, that is extremely important. That's, of course, a follow-up. And that is, you can do that in many different ways. I've seen very many of my staff even don't even take the business cards along anymore. They take digital images. I have been scolded to be old-fashioned to use actual business cards. Still, they rather have QR codes. But that is the most important thing. If you're getting back, of course, you have made a huge investment. And if you look at a return on investment, it doesn't happen by itself. You're in competition with at least 41 other appointments that you have gotten, and it's your job to make sure that you leave a lasting impression that should have started in the preparation already in requesting information. What I was talking about before is try to get the other side to request you during the appointment sessions, and that means already that much of the information that you want to tell about yourself, they should know already, that you can talk more meat and bones, and then that you don't have to waste too much time for what do you do. But then you come back and hopefully you have been able to extract a lot of information that is relevant, how you can help them. And it is amazing how many appointments are not properly followed up. That is, well, I gave them my information and I haven't heard anything back from them. Yes, they took the time, make sure that you follow up, that you make sure that all the questions that were posed were answered. And even if there was a meeting that was not very successful in the sense of, well, this is not the next $10 million client that I'm gonna get, it's a very small industry. And you will notice that a lot of buyers are, if they're from whatever country they are, they move around from company to company. And what might not be a match now might be a match in the future. And I can say that for us who have been in the business for a long, long time, you, especially inbound tour operators like us, but also DMOs, have to take the long view. And maybe the companies that are not a right match now, the person who is sitting there might be very interested, but they don't have the product or don't have the clientele or have the capability to send you business. But if you leave a lasting impression and follow up properly and stay in touch with them, you will be surprised how many companies are suddenly coming to you because the person jumped from one company to another. And that can work both ways. But be very aware of that. And
never burn a bridge is probably a good motto for this that industry, is very, right? Because it could come back around very quickly.
Well, it is almost a certainty. It will haunt
it
you.
It will, yes. We can almost guarantee it.
Yeah. So but make sure that you follow up. And even if there would not be a match, help them in the right direction. We are in the hospitality business. And we should think a little bit further than only our narrow interests. And sometimes I recommend, so for, well, I'm not the right company for you, but go to one of my colleagues who is a competitor to me. But it's more important to help the potential buyer than paying it close to the vest. Because we heard from Roger this morning that we are we're not doing great on market share as a destination. We're losing market share, and we have to get all efforts and all hands on deck to lift it. And that is by cooperating properly, and that would be sometimes even give it to your fierce competitor. Right, you're doing.
I can give you an example of that. I had a request for, because we work in the Western United States. I had a request for a group that was going into Miami for 3 or 4 nights, and they wanted transportation from the airport, they wanted a hotel. Well, I could send some research and found a hotel and a bus company and put something together, but it might not have been exactly what they were looking for. It was just something I found. So I sent the lead to Peter and said, if your company, because I know you know Miami, if you can help them, and okay, I didn't get that business, but I know the next time that they have something coming along the line, they're gonna contact me back again because I helped them with this other program. So, just because it's something, you may talk to someone, it may not be something you can help them with, but you might be able to give them a recommendation that's going to leave a lasting impression on them.
Another side to that equation about follow-up, the way that we look at this, and especially on the inbound side, we have that very clearly. I always feel privileged that we are entrusted with the business that they're willing to give us. And trust in having the right partner overseas is very important, and I will do everything we can to always fulfill that trust and to make sure that that we depict the US as a destination in the most positive light possible. And the way that we do that also in our follow-up is very important.
Great. Well, thank you. I think we're getting pretty close to our time. We have a couple minutes for questions. If anyone has any specific questions for one of our panelists or for Greg?
Greg, what is the screens, or are you going to talk about that in your environmental sustainability session?
I'm not, and I can, either Raphael or I can talk about it. As Ruth talked about, actually Tourism Cares had a leadership summit about 10 to 15 years ago, right at the time that we were really starting to create some awareness around sustainability. The Springs Preserve happens to be an active spring in the Vegas community. A lot of people don't know that. really that's part of the, I'll call it the creation of why they became a Mecca, is because there was a water source. And so they spend time highlighting within the Springs Preserve how they work with water conservation, how they work with their local ecosystem, channeling waters for Lake Mead and everything else. So we're going to focus our work. We're doing a lot of work. I'll talk about sustainability and the 17 sustainable development goals that the United Nations developed. We like to create a focus, because there's 17 of them, on like four or five. And the one that we've taken on this year, not surprisingly, is climate action. So when we go to Vegas, we'll be working at the Springs Preserve, putting a focus on their efforts toward climate action. And then as well, our event in Lake Tahoe, which will be in May, will similarly be focused on that community's efforts in the area of climate action.
So the Springs Preserve is actually where Las Vegas was formed. Las Vegas is Spanish as the Meadows. And, It really is. And that's where it was formed and founded, that's where the water came out. So, and there's museums in there. And even though people will not believe what Las Vegas has been doing by sustainability, it is actually one of the most amazing cities in the world when it comes to that. Because we live in a desert, and we cannot survive unless we do this work that we're going to be talking about there. The fact that we've been able to grow and build what we are able to and still live and have 2.5 million people living in that region is pretty amazing. And just, it's hard to market it because people don't believe it. But hotels are being built with material that's brought in within 300 miles of the city. And it's still pretty impressive. So, but you'll learn a lot more from it. You can learn all that stuff by going to the Springs Preserve. It's quite a beautiful place.
And similarly, what we try to do is we try to create, you know, a whole view of the local ecosystem. So, you know, while we'll be talking about climate action, we'll also be supporting the local food banks within Las Vegas. I'm working with some of their local communities to source our lunch for our breakfast or lunch for that day, so that you can kind of see how the community all works together and how they work together as a community toward all of the sustainability efforts. As he mentioned, it's a monumental task for Las Vegas.
I can imagine. I was just there for the Expedia conference. This information is being promoted nowhere. Because I specifically said, are there any natural areas to go to? Oh, no. And
natural areas in the desert, yeah.
Yeah, and
turn around, the guy behind you can take you to all the natural areas.
Yes, but no one was talking about the sustainability of it. You know, that would have been really interesting to have information in the rooms or something, brochures to pick up or something.
Well, that's Expedia's conference.
Yeah. I'm talking about the hotels themselves.
Well, I think, and that's actually, one of the great things is that hopefully that shatters perceptions as well about Las Vegas. It's a very strong community where they work together, in terms of water preservation, where they work together on sustainability efforts, where they come together. There's a lot of people who move to Las Vegas, so they have issues that go along with poverty and homelessness and such. So. This is our way of putting a focus on how that community works toward, building for a better world.
Great. Well, any other questions before we conclude and let you guys move on to your, I think we have a break or something coming up next. Raphael, Gary, Peter, thank you very much for being here and helping us. Great.
They don't say what the break is. They just say break.
Did they say that? Just break?
Just a break. Everything else has been
done. We don't have a break? Keep working. Keep working.
We have a break. It says break. It just doesn't tell you where.
Okay.
So we used more time than
this break. We did. Thank you very much. Yeah. Thank you.
See you tomorrow.
We'll do it again. And we only have one tomorrow.
Yeah, I saw the yeah. Carry-on.
Yes.
Originally, there were two, but then it was one.
Yeah, I think because they're trying to fit in a lot of the others.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were some good topics. I think the crisis management one was definitely great.
Peter was thinking, if we want to leave like a little bit early.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm good. My name's Rachel. Nice to meet you.
Tell me what you think about leaving.
Yeah. I'm in there. No, it was great information too. I've been to a few travel conferences, but usually, again, like I said, it's more niche focused. So it's, I'm just trying to learn about really getting the brand out there, but it's different because I'm not traveling all over looking for blog opportunities. I'm trying to promote. It's kind of like trying to do what the CBB does, but in a very LGBT niche focus without the funding that the visitors. I'm trying to develop more partnerships, and I think that's really where Shape can become a bigger platform, even a bigger reach and platform. Is I have a meeting with Visit Florida Thursday, so I'm really trying to align myself more with that. We haven't really, because they were up and down in their budget talks for a little while, and what was going on with them, like everything was on hold. So fortunately, it was just bad. I think they said it. I think they agreed to $50 million. It was they wanted $75 million like last year, but they think they settled at $50 million. But I think the assumption is people will come to Florida anyway. And I'm like, but it's not just that. They do so much to do crisis management and issues like red tide. Like they were trying to get the real facts out versus what media wanted to
share. We have so many amazing examples. Yeah. States pulling tourism dollars and what happens
in Colorado. Colorado just decided, oh, we don't need the tourism. So they completely shut it down. And when you looked at states in the U.S., the fifth for states that people wanted to go see, like a wish list thing, Colorado was in the top five all the time, and they dropped into the 20s within
the
couple
20s.
Of years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All of a sudden, we don't hear about Colorado.
Yeah, there's other states.
I still want to come to Colorado. I've not been yet. I still want to come to Colorado.
Oh, come to Colorado.
I mean, even like, for instance, for our community, like when the Pulse happened, all of a sudden people were fearful of traveling here that were LGBT. Well, how did visitors bureaus can help manage the crisis component of that? Okay, yes, it was one club, one idiot. It wasn't like the entire state that's anti-LGBT. Like, let's keep, because it's a high-income community to market to, so are we doing that? So I definitely want to align myself more with, like, the Visit Florida, the visitor bureaus. I know Naples has had me down a couple times to, they want to become more LGBT inclusive. They see the dollar, you know, the value of that from a community and the financial standpoint. But I'd like to be able to go out to some of the travel events. I just want to make sure it's worth the time to do so for me and the expense. And
so who would you be meeting with?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, honestly, most of the people that I'd be selling to would be insured, because I want people promoting. My goal with Outpost is going to a conference type of point of view is promoting to tour operators and other people that if they're going to have LGBT travelers coming to Florida, Outpost is the platform to visit to really find out where to go, what to do, what to see, LGBT clubs, bars, experiences, pride festivals. Like, I really want to grow this platform. It's online right now. I'd like to get it to the point where we're doing more of an app. Right now, it's a website.
Okay.
We really originally were Gulf Coast, St. Pete. I'm based in St. Pete.
Okay.
So we were really Gulf Coast focused originally. The problem is in each little town, there's so many different LGBT media platforms. So I really, but there's nothing that's just statewide that says, here's one source to come to where you know where all the pride festivals are going on, all the LGBT clubs and bars, all the LGBT nonprofit organizations that are in those areas. Like, I really want to develop that hub. I mean, this could be something that's replicated to other areas too, other states, but for Florida especially, I mean, it's kind of one of those states where it's a purple state. I mean, shore always, where the most inclusive areas are. You can go to St. Pete and then go right outside of it into a different zip code, and then it's like super red area that's not as inclusive. So it's nice to kind of have more of that information